Thanks for listening to the ministry of Pastor Brad Smith, lead pastor of Woodward First Assembly of God, located in Woodward, Oklahoma. So let's go live right now into the sanctuary where Pastor Brad Smith is about to deliver a fresh word from heaven.
Hallelujah. Thank you for your giving this morning. If you're able-bodied and you can stand for the reading of the word, I'd ask you to do that. God bless you for your faithfulness to the house of God this morning. We're so glad you're here. And as you're opening in your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 92. Psalm 92, and we're going to continue down the trail of the series that we've been doing this last week and this last month. And so we're going to be reading from this passage. Psalm 92, verse 12. When you have it this morning, say amen. If you didn't bring your Bible, it's on the screen. Reading from the New King James Version this morning. It reads like this. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in their old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He's my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him." Lord, thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, open up our ears. Lord, if there's any distractions in this room, Lord, I pray if people are distracted by their cell phone or Facebook, Lord, let it not work for the next 30 minutes. Lord, we believe you have a word to speak into our ears today. And I pray right now that word would produce much fruit in our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You can be seated this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, good morning, everybody. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Well, we're excited that you're here, and you could have been anywhere else on a Sunday morning, but you chose to be with us, and we're so thankful for that because you see the value in attending the house of God. And if you're new and you're just jumping in, I want to let you know that we've been in a sermon series for the last couple weeks entitled Roots. We'll be finishing that up next week, and we've been able to cover some pretty amazing stuff. We've talked about Bible study and church attendance, and we've talked about prayer. And tonight, listen, let me just encourage you, if you're not a Sunday night church goer, man, let me just encourage you to come tonight. Wear your shouting shoes. We're going to have a party in here tonight at 6 o'clock because we're going to be talking about praise, and it's going to be a good night. So we want you to be sure to come. But we've been talking about things, and last Sunday night we were challenged about walking in love. How many of you were here for that? If you missed that, you can pick it up on the podcast. We talked about walking in love. But this morning, we're going to talk about something that's just a little bit different. This morning, we're going to talk about faithfulness. Everybody say faithfulness. Faithfulness. And specifically, we're going to talk about the fruit of faithfulness. You know, over the last several weeks, we've talked about the importance of bearing fruit in our Christian lives. Because God wants us to be fruitful. Amen. He wants us to have fruit that abounds to our account so that we, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which the Bible says one day all of us are going to do, we can present our lives before God and he'll say, "Well done, my good and," help me, "faithful servant." I want you to notice he didn't say, "Well done, good and faithful church attender." Because some people, church attendance is the epitome of their Christian walk. But I want you to know this is the place where we come to get edification, exhortation, and instruction so that we can apply it when we go out in our world. Amen? So notice he said, "Good and faithful servant." And so as we're looking at this, our minds, my prayer is that God will stretch and expand the canvas of our minds so that we can be more fruitful for him. So today we're talking about the fruit of faithfulness. The fruit of faithfulness. You know, it's tragic that today faithfulness is really not a characteristic that we see exhibited in a lot of different ways. And I'm not talking about just with younger folks. I'm talking about in every demographic, in every area of life, faithfulness is simply something that we don't see as exhibited as we used to. You know, to be honest with you, talking about faithfulness, we live in a time and a season where people aren't faithful to their spouses. The divorce rate's higher than has ever been, and not just in the world, but statistics say in the church. And so people are not faithful to their spouses. I heard a guy joke one time. He said, my wife turned 40, and I traded her in for two 20s. How many of you know it doesn't work that way? We take a marriage vow. It says, for better, for worse, for richer or poor, for till death do us part. God's serious about this faithful thing called marriage. But we live in a thing today where people aren't faithful. You know what? They're also not faithful to brands anymore. My grandparents' generation, they were consumer faithful. In other words, if you bought your washing machine from Sears and Roebuck, that's the only place you bought your washing machine. If you drove Chevys, that's all you drove. If you drove Dodge, that's all you drove. If people were brand loyal or brand faithful. But how many of you know that's not the case anymore? The case now is who has the best dollar, who has the best price, who has the best bottom line. It's the same way with banks. People used to be bank faithful, bank loyal, but now it just all depends on who has the best thing. Here's another one. People used to be faithful to sports teams. But some people like OU when they're winning, and they don't like them when they're not. They are fans and not followers. There's some people who like the Cowboys until the Cowboys started doing bad. And I'm speaking of Dallas. I'm not speaking of OSU. But there are some people who are not loyal to those things anymore. They're not loyal to the brand. They're not loyal to the spouse. They're not loyal to sports teams. But we also have a generation also who's not really faithful to the house of God. And we talked about that last week, and I don't want to beat a dead horse. And obviously you're here, so I'm preaching to the choir. So this message is not to you, and it's not even really about church attendance, although the passage represents and signifies some of that. Today I just want to talk about faithfulness in general. So I want you to look at the scripture this morning as I just look at a couple verses. I like Luke 16:10. Once again, the words of Jesus, and here's what Jesus said. In Luke 16, verse 10, here's what Jesus said. He said, he that is faithful with little will also be faithful with much. And then he said, he that is unfaithful with little will also be faithful with much. So Jesus is trying to tell us in Luke chapter 16 that faithfulness is something that goes into our whole life, and that if you're a faithful person with the little things, most likely you'll be faithful with the big things. But if you're unfaithful then with the little things, you'll be unfaithful with the big things. Look at what Psalm 31 and 23 says. Psalm 31 and 23 reads like this. It says, the Lord preserves the faithful, the faithful. Then look at 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 says that a steward is to be found trustworthy, or one translation says a steward ought to be found faithful. And as I referenced just a moment ago, Matthew 25 and 23, it says that the master is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, but I want to stand before God and I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. One other word for the word faithful, it could be consistent. Somebody say consistent. The same day in, day out. There's no guesswork. There's no guessing game. Listen, you just have a consistent personality in your life. And that's what God wants us to exhibit when we look at this thing called faithfulness. The scripture says a lot about faithfulness. Specifically, in Psalm 92, he talks about being plugged in, being rooted in the house of God. So let's turn over there, and we're going to look at that in a minute. But when I think of church, I want you to know I love church. Absolutely love church. I loved church before I got paid to come to church as a pastor. I was still in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Matter of fact, I was on the praise team. I played the drums for a long season of life, and I got a job, and my boss promised me, he said, you can be off on Sundays. That's the only reason I took the job, because I didn't want to give up my commitment to being in the house of God and my ministry there on the bus and also on the praise team. Well, that, sure, you can be off every Sunday, that worked for about 3 weeks until somebody else decided they want to be off on Sunday. And I'm going to tell you something. I gave that job the gift of goodbye. And God honored my heart and gave me another job that had Sundays and weekends off. And I'm not advocating for you to quit your job today. I'm advocating for you to listen to the Holy Spirit. But what I am telling you is that if your heart is pure and you have the good motives, God will make a way for you to be faithful. Absolutely. Are you with me this morning? I just love it. Throughout the years of pastoring, I've seen exhibited the different types of natures of people. But as a church member, I used to love it when we would have a guest speaker. Now, not because I didn't like to hear our pastor, but I always knew that he brought in somebody of good quality. So I wanted to make sure that I was there, and I didn't want to miss. And if I had to be gone, you know what I did? We used to have cassette tapes. I know the young people don't know anything about that today. But yes, there is a device that there's a recording machine that can put your voice on a strip of tape and it can be played back through some speakers. That is a pretty amazing thing, isn't it? The 8-track generation ought to say amen. But even if we had to miss, I had to go back and get it. That's why I enjoy today podcasts and things. If I want to keep up with another ministry, I want to keep up with our church, if we have to miss, I can go back and I can listen and stay connected to what God is doing in and through the life of the local church. But there's a lot of reasons why I like the church, and here's some of them. I want to give them to you. I think of the compassion that I see in church. You know, when you have a church family that you belong to, man, I'm telling you, sometimes it is more tight than even your blood family. How many of you this morning will testify that if you've ever been sick or you've been out or you've been something like that or you've gone through a tragedy in your family or a divorce or a death, your church family was there to check on you, encourage you, call you, those types of things. How many of you agree with that this morning? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Always checking on each other, reaching out in times of need. The friendly smiles and faces when you walk in the door. I'm thankful for our greeters and our ushers who always have a smiley face, amen, when people are walking in the door. And I also think about the fellowship meals, which I haven't got a chance to get into too many of those yet, hint, hint. But we need to, you know, fellowship together and break bread together. It always makes me happy. Then I think about the fellowship. You know what I love, what I've noticed about this church right here over the last few weeks, just being here over 6 weeks now? Oh my goodness, isn't that crazy? Do you know what I thought about? When service is over, everybody doesn't scatter like bugs when you turn the light off. Sometimes I look over at Steve and I wink at him. I said, if you're ready to go, just flip the light. But people want to hang out and they want to talk. And they want a fellowship. Listen, it is never a good sign if people scatter as soon as you say amen. But people are hanging around and they're talking and it's fellowship and it's like family. Even some people still use the terms brother and sister when it refers to our Christian brothers and sisters, because there is so much family orientation in the house of God. There's unity. And that's why it's so awesome to be a part of a church family. Amen. So I want to tell you about faithfulness. As a pastor, I've learned throughout the years, there are some people that I can just count on. Can just count on. There are people, and I'm still getting to know some of you and some of your personalities and some of your types and some of those things. There are people I can count on. Listen, there are people I can turn my back and never see who comes in the door, and I can tell you if they're here or not. Because the only way they miss is if they're in the hospital or they're dead. Yeah. Faithful. Faithful. So, you know, there's people like that. I know that if they say, Pastor, I'm going to teach a class, they're not going to show up late, they're not going to flake out, they're not going to miss two or three times a month, they're going to be there, they're going to be excited, they're going to be ready, they're going to be there with their bootstraps pulled up, their belt put on, and their tools in their hand ready to work and get the job done. Faithfulness is something that's missing today. But there are certain people you can say, you know what, I can count on you. I want you to know that when you exhibit the fruit of faithfulness, That is something that the Lord takes great pleasure in. Because not only can the Lord count on you, but other people can count on you. So let's look at this as we talk about some things. Look in our text with me at Psalm 92. And let's look at some things as we read it again in verse 12. He said, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." This morning, I want to talk to you about some fruits of faithfulness. Look with me at verse 12 again. Verse 12, I love the way it says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." First of all, I want you to know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ. If you've been saved, you've been born again, you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are righteous. What that means is you have right standing with God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad about that? I'm glad that if I'm saved, that I'm a child of God, he has a plan for my life, and I'm righteous in his sight. But I love what he says in verse 12. He says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Two words that I see in that passage I want to look at right now. It says, "He shall flourish and he shall grow." If you're taking notes, write this down. One of the fruits of faithfulness, number one, is you're stable. You're stable. And I want you to know that as a Christian, God wants you to have a stable life. Yet there's so many people in this world, their life is like this, right? Ups and downs. And listen, while life has ups and downs, that doesn't mean you have to have ups and downs. I believe we serve a God who's constant. And I believe that as we learn to become more like him and get his word in our heart more, we become constant through the trials and circumstances of our lives. Look at this. It says, "He shall flourish like a palm tree." Now, when we look at this, he's actually talking about the date palm tree, which is a particular tree that would have grown in Israel in that type of day. And so, listen, it's intriguing because it's stately and it's beautiful. But here's the thing about the date palm tree. It sets deep roots, right? Deep roots. So what that means is that in the place where this particular tree lives, it goes way down deep. And it can survive in times of dryness or in times of great moisture. I think that's interesting because he said the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. So this is a tree that it grows up big, but down beneath it are roots so that in times of drought, you don't die and wither away. Now here's the thing. There are a lot of Christians who when things get dry and times get tough, they fall away, they wither away, they backslide out of the house of God. Why is that? Because their roots aren't going deep. But when you allow the roots to grow that God has developed in your life, listen, those taproots know how to go down and find the source of strength and encouragement. So when you're a righteous person, here's the thing. You don't wait on Sunday and say, "Oh, I haven't been fed all week." You go home, crack open your Bible, and say, "Lord, what are you speaking to me today?" Can I tell you something? I mean this in a heart of love. If this is the only Bible you get all week, you are not getting enough. You have to learn how to develop a diet, a steady, consistent, healthy diet of the Word of God. And here's the thing. When you're an infant, right? When you're 1 and 2 and 3 years old, you have to teach them how to eat and you got to spoon feed them. But I found out that when my kids turned 4 and 5 years old, these little boys developed an appetite of their own. And I can't keep them stocked in food. I don't know where they put it. I don't know all of these things. I mean, it's crazy going through 2 and 3 boxes of cereal a week, 2 and 3 gallons of milk. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's just crazy. But here's the thing. When you are hungry and righteous and you're planted, you learn how to feed yourself. And because you learn to feed yourself, you become stable and you become a staple in the house of God. One of the great things also about this palm tree, this date palm tree, is that it said that its fruit gets sweeter in old age. How many of you know you don't have to be old and grumpy? Anybody ever seen the movie years ago, Grumpy Old Men? You know, that doesn't have to be your testimony. You don't have to go out of this life just gloom and despair and agony on me like Hee-Haw, an old rerun episode. You can come out of this life just as sweet and just as positive and just as fruitful as God intended you to be. Listen, and part of that is because we are like that palm tree whose roots go deep. How do those roots develop? The Word of God, prayer, faithfulness, consistency, those types of things give us the roots that we need to be stable in the life that we live in. But he doesn't just say that. He also says we'll be like the cedar. The cedar is a tree that grows up big and it does not falter in times of storm. In other words, a cedar tree can take a lot. In other words, it can take a licking and keep on ticking. I want you to know something. As a Christian, you have to learn to be tough. You're going to be tough. There are times where people are going to offend you. There are times where people are going to cut you off. There are going to be times where somebody passes you busy in the hallway and they don't shake your hand. You got to take an initiative in your heart to decide, am I going to be offended or am I going to be a cedar? Am I going to be the type of person that allows the winds and waves to beat against my life and stay steadfast? Somebody say stable. Stable. God wants you to be stable. You don't leave when there's crisis. You don't leave when there's controversy. You stay steadfast in your roots that God has had you to. Not only do you stay stable, but look at number two, you're strong. Number two, you're strong. He said, you'll be like a cedar of Lebanon. It exhibits luxuriousness. Because as that old song says, it stays green not only when summer's here, but in the coldest times of the year. You're unshakable. Unshakable. One of the greatest signs of maturity is that when things that used to bother you don't bother you anymore. That's called growth. And as we're planted in the house of God, we become mature in the things of God. And we're unshakable, we're unmovable, because that's what God wants us to be. Because the winds will blow, the waters will blow, the storms will rage. Listen to me, but you have to learn how to stay steadfast in your walk with God. I want to spend a little bit more time on this next one. Not only are you strong, but look at this, you're set. You're set. Look at verse number 13. Verse number 13 reads like this. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the house of our God. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You're set. You are steadfast and you are planted. Somebody say set. Now, I hate to admit this, but it's true. There are many gifts that God has blessed me with. A green thumb is not one of them. Every time I go to Walmart, get a plant, surprise my wife, I put it out in the garden or something like that, or out in the flower bed, it dies. It doesn't matter what I do to it. Doesn't matter what I do to it. But you know, a couple years ago, I went and bought this plant from Walmart. And I set it out there in a little pot that it came in. I watered it. I put it out in the sunlight. It still died. Can I tell you why it died? I didn't plant it. I didn't know you were supposed to plant those things. The little container that they come in is just a temporary place for you to dig a hole and put that thing in the ground. Because that contraption that that plant is in is made for transportation. And here's the thing, there are some things in your life, in your walk with God, that you're only going to get and develop when you become planted in the house of God. Let me tell you something, church hopping is not good for you. Listen, This church may not be the church for everybody, but I hope it's the church for you. But if it's not, find you a place and sit down somewhere. Come on, somebody. Because your children's spiritual health, your marriage's spiritual health, your spiritual health in general is highly, highly dependent upon you being planted somewhere in the house of God. Here's the thing. You need a church family. You need a pastor. You need accountability. You need a family that you can learn to thrive in and grow in so that you can become fruitful. Notice he says, he that is planted in the house of the Lord. I like the way John Bevere says it. He says it doesn't say transplanted. Because when you plant a plant, it goes down and it gets roots. But then if you dig up that tree and you keep on moving it, you know what happens? It'll die eventually, but in the meantime, its root system becomes dwarfed and it becomes hindered from receiving nutrients that it needs to grow. So it's interesting to me that we need to be planted consistently in the house of God. Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 says. Turn over there and you can read that with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. He says, but now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases him. God sets the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. Do you know that you really don't get to decide where you go to church? That decision really is up to God, if you're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when you get to the place that he's called you to be and you plant roots, you will become fruitful. Man, your leaves will begin to blossom and your flowers will begin to bud and your fruit will begin to develop on your vine because there's a level of consistency in that soil. You get the right nutrients for the right season, for the right everything, and your life will begin to prosper because you're set in the house of God. Come on, somebody. Set in the house of God. But don't just forget that. Look at this. Not only are you set, but here's another fruit of faithfulness. Number four, you're successful. Look at verse 14. He says, they shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Let me tell you, the key to longevity and fruitfulness in your life is to be planted in the house of God. Now look at this. I love what he says in this last verse right here. He says, they shall still bear fruit in their old age. What is the secret then of success to live a long, prosperous life in the house of God, in a relationship with God? Well, first of all, there is a commandment with promise in the Old Testament. He says, honor your father and mother, and your days will be long upon the earth. Do you know there was a woman in Arkansas, she died at 104 years old. And they asked her what was the secret to her life, and she pointed out that promise. But listen, not only do you want to live a long life, do you honor your father and mother, but the Bible says that if you're planted in the house of God, when you get old, you're still going to be fruitful and flourishing. Oh my goodness, let me speak to this issue for just a moment. Church, listen to me. I know the world is changing. Things are changing. And listen, speaking with older people and my grandparents and people like that, sometimes the world can seem to be changing so fast you can feel left out and left behind and disoriented with all of the change. But let me tell you something. You can be 70, 80, and 90, and 100 years old and still be fruitful for the kingdom of God, still be a contributor, still have a plan and a purpose for God for your life, because as long as you have breath in your body, come on somebody, God has a plan for your life. Now, one of the things about age is as you age, your pace changes. How many of you that are 35 and 40 realize that there are things that you can't do now when you were 16 and 17 years old? Oh, yeah. Wrestling with my kids, muscles hurt that didn't used to hurt. How many of you that are 60 and 65 recognize that there are some things at 60 and 65 that you couldn't do, that you could do at 30 that you can't do anymore? Amen? Y'all ain't gonna say amen on that, but it's the truth. It's not a bad confession, it's just the truth. And when you're 90, there are things at 60 that you can't do at 90. So it is real and realistic that the pace of life changes as you get older. But here's what the scripture says. The scripture says that when you get older, listen, the older women are supposed to be teaching the younger women about what? About prayer, about faithfulness, about Bible study, about the Word of God. Listen, the older men, they're supposed to be dreaming dreams. The younger men are having visions. Can I tell you why the older men have dreams? Because they sleep more. Come on, somebody. My grandpa, before he passed away, he was always taking a nap. The old men dream dreams. The young men dream visions. Here's the thing. We serve a generational God. And as the pace of life picks up, don't let the devil lie to you and say just because you're getting older that you got to sit down somewhere. Listen, yes, things may change and the way we do things change, but God still has a plan for your life. Come on, somebody. And when you get older, you can be flourishing and fruitful. I like what he says in the B part of verse 14. He says, they shall be fresh. You know, I like fresh bread. I don't like stale bread. Well, here's the thing. You can be fresh and not stale. Flourishing in your old age. Still declaring the works of God. Wasn't it David who said, when I'm old, don't forsake me until I declare your power to this generation? Come on now. So to our older people, hang on. God's not done with you yet. To our younger people, you ain't there yet. Come on. This is what I will submit, and I know this to be true. There are some things our younger people can learn from older people, like faithfulness, consistency, and prayer, and tithing, and giving. There are also some things our older people can learn from our younger people. It takes the two working together. Are you with me? So listen, if you're planted in the house of God, here's what you get. Number one, you're stable. Number two, you're strong. Number three, you're set. And number four, you become successful. Successful. As they come this morning, as we get ready, I love this passage, how it's played out in the scripture. Because in the Bible days, they lived a lot older than we do today. And I'm sure there's several reasons for that. But how many of you know Caleb was an old man? Caleb was an old man. And you know what he said? He said, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. I know that I'm old, but I'm not dead. Give me this mountain. And he went out of this life fruitful and strong. So let me tell you some things. Some of the greatest people to be around are the older saints of God. Because of their stories, their love for the church, they want to see it go on and they want to see it prosper. Let me say something. Do you love the church? Jesus does. Here's the thing. Jesus loves the church, but Jesus loves you because you are the church. There's something to be said about setting roots and saying, you know what? This is going to be my church. We're going to be faithful to its ministry. We're going to be faithful to its mission. We're going to be faithful to its vision. Because I know I'm already saved. But I got grandchildren and kids that need to be saved. There's a community that needs to be saved, co-workers that need to be saved. So we're going to link arms together, set ourselves, become strong, become stable, so that we can become successful. in what God wants us to do. Amen. I'm glad for people who are faithful to the house of God, faithful in their giving, faithful in their serving, faithful. Faithfulness is rewarded by God. And I want you to stand with me this morning. Let me tell you something about faithfulness. How is faithfulness, how do you start with faithfulness? Because there may be some people in this room this morning, you may be looking back on yesterday and saying, you know what, I've blown half of my life, or I've blown most of my life, or man, you just don't even know what I did last week. How do you begin being faithful? Let me give you a real simple secret. One step at a time. Consistency. Be faithful today. Be faithful tomorrow. Be faithful the next day. It's consecutive. It's incremental. One little bit at a time. That's how it happens. I'm going to tell you a story and then I'm going to close. When I used to live in South Arkansas, there's a place in Texarkana, Texas called Brangus Feedlot. And they had a 64-ounce steak that if you ate it, you got it for free. Anybody ever seen one of those places? And I sat there and I watched a person eat this thing and I said, man, how in the world did they devour that? You know how they did it? One bite at a time. They didn't take the whole thing and just, try to do it that way. No, just one bite at a time. And that's how faithfulness is. It's one bite at a time. Start being consistent in one area at a time. And over the year, you'll look back and you'll say, wow. Wow. Look at the faithfulness of God. Prioritizing Him, putting Him first in your life, in every area, and your life will be changed. Why? Because the scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all of the other stuff that you've been worrying about, it'll be added unto you when you learn to put God first in your life. Amen. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning? We've already ministered to the sick, but I want to give an opportunity. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, it's important that if you don't know Him, you meet Him today. See, Jesus loves you so much that He died on the cross for your sin. He didn't have to. But He did it because He wanted a relationship with you. In ourselves, we're inconsistent at best and unworthy. But when Jesus looked at our life, when God sent Him to the earth, He said, son, I want you to die for the sins of humanity. And because of that relationship with Jesus, now we can be right with God. And we can have a relationship with Him so that when we die, there's no question on where we spend eternity. We can spend eternity in heaven and not hell because of a relationship with Jesus. So if you're here and you don't know Him, I want to give you an opportunity right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. If you were to die right now, would you know where you're going to spend eternity? I tell you, don't put it off until tomorrow. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, if you feel like your heart's beating fast and feel like your palms are sweaty, listen, that's the Lord. That's one of the ways He's trying to speak to you this morning. Don't miss out on your opportunity. If you feel like you need to get it right with God today, you can do that. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to get it right with God, I would like to pray with you personally if I can do that today. Nobody's looking around. Eyes are closed this morning. If that's you, you say, man, I want to get right with God today. I want to be faithful to God. God's been faithful to me. Would you slip up a hand? I want to pray for you this morning. Is there anybody here? Bless you, man. Anybody else? Bless you. Anybody else this morning? Hallelujah. I just want to get it right with God this morning. Hallelujah. Three people raise their hands. Anybody else here this morning? I just need to get it right with God today. Listen, I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment. And then I'm going to ask those that raise their hand to come. And we want to pray with them individually, my wife and I, maybe some others. Let me pray a prayer. Would you do this with me? Would you bow your head and would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. When I've been unfaithful, You have remained faithful. I give my life to You. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Help me to live for You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, heads bowed and eyes still closed. If you raise your hand on the count of three, I want you to come And I don't want to embarrass you, but we want to pray a special prayer with you. We want to rejoice with you this morning. So if you raise your hand on the count of three, I'd like to ask you to step out, and our staff and my wife, we'd like to pray with you today. Are you ready? One, that's you. We want to pray with you. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed. Two, three, would you come? We want to pray with you. It's not, that's fine. That's just that. Anybody else this morning that want to just give it to the Lord this morning? If you're here, hallelujah, hallelujah. Anybody else this morning? God's just been good to you. Don't leave without getting it right today. There's power in a proclamation. There's power in a confession. You know, sometimes that thing won't break off your life until you move. Hallelujah. Would you stretch your hand towards my brother today? Let's just pray for him. God, thank you, Lord, for somebody, Lord, that wants to get it right today. Lord, I thank you for your blood. It cleanses our lives. We thank you for your faithfulness. God, we thank you that you're good even when we're not. Lord, I thank you that today is a fresh start in our lives, that the blood of Jesus washes us and cleanses us, and it removes our sinfulness. God, and it sets us in a right relationship with you. Lord, today I pray right now, Lord, that your hand would be upon him. Lord, that you would just minister to him in a powerful way. And Lord, if there are anybody else here that raised a hand that maybe they didn't want to come forward, God, I pray you would minister to them right where they are. You're a good God, and we thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for your power in our lives. And God, we ask it today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said amen. Can we give the Lord a clap offering of praise this morning? Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. To give to this ministry, visit woodwardfirstag.org and simply click the Give tab. We sincerely believe that today's message has been divinely inspired of the Holy Spirit, and because of that, you will soon reap a bountiful harvest. God bless, and thank you once again for listening to today's podcast.